Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens, families, communities, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Americans may have become significantly more accepting of gender diversity, but discrimination is pervasive. After years of intolerance, societal attitudes are more tolerant of LGBTQIA population. That's an acronym for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer, questioning, intersex, and ally. What is transgender? How does one know they are transgender? What should parents do if their child appears to be gender nonconforming? What is the general attitude toward this population? The purpose of this edition of 411 Teen is to introduce and educate the listening audience about the transgendered population. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome C. Moline, one of my favorites. She has been around several times, and I'm always glad to have her comments. She's a freshman at FSU, and some of her interests are Students for a Democratic Society and trans women.
Hi, I'm C. Moline. I am a trans woman. I'm not interested in trans women.
Okay. All right. Corinna Val, from Tallahassee Community College, a freshman, interested in Students for the Democratic Society and transgender male.
Hi, my name is Karina Ball, and I'm a transgender male. Go by he, him, his pronouns.
Okay. Catherine Draken. Catherine, welcome back to 411 Teen. She's been here several times, and we're always glad to have her comments.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And Jake Balduce.
Balducci.
Okay. FSU, sophomore, into mock trials and FSU orchestra, and popular music theory.
Yeah, I'm a music major here at FSU.
Okay.
Really interested in popular music and the theory of it, but thanks for having us.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming. Appreciate it. What is the general attitude that you encounter concerning gender diverse populations?
I think basically everybody here can agree that we experience like very negative emotions towards us and very negative perceptions of us, especially on campus and in the media. Period.
Really?
Yeah, it's extremely negative.
We have you elaborate.
Yeah, the general attitude tends to be ignorance. There's a lot of fear-mongering in the media towards transgender people, especially trans women, with the whole bathroom issue. Right-wingers, scaremongers say that trans women are dangerous predators, and a lot of people believe them. So there's a lot of hatred and ignorance and fear, you know.
And that, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's one of the main reasons for doing this. People are ignorant. They just don't know. They have no idea. So I'm hoping that at least we can educate a few, okay? If you just educate one, that's a big deal. Yes.
For sure. But there's definitely some positivity around. I don't want to say that everyone is horrible. They all hate us. No, there's definitely people in my life, and I'm sure some of you people's lives, that will affirm my gender as much as needed. Mm-hmm. They will try to help me with the dysphoria I feel, and they are very encouraging for me to continue my transition and know that this is who I am.
Well, that's positive to hear. Do you get a different response on campus than when you're out in the community?
Yes.
Okay.
The difference?
Elaborate on that. I mean, there are different communities, so to speak, and, you know, the response you may get when you're on campus, or campuses, and I know you're from different campuses, but on campus, basically, whatever campus it may be, or in the community, what is it?
So I know I dress like a little extravagantly sometimes. So I people know who I am. People have seen me on campus. People off campus have never seen me before, and I always get stares. Like, mm-hmm. no matter what I'm wearing, I'll just get stares just walking down the street. Whereas on campus, all those stares have already worn out. Everyone's bored of looking at me. So it's okay. less of like a tolerance or acceptance and more just like, it's that person. It's mm-hmm. that person who's always here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Comment?
So, yeah, as far as like the communities that we're surrounding about, like Jake said, there are those safe communities mm-hmm. that we have that are usually close friends. Most of the time, it's hard for family to get involved, but that's always tricky and always different in every situation. But as far as the community that really has this very high ignorance is the cishet community. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's cisgender heterosexual for people right. who don't know.
Oh, no, yes, I did know it. I knew what she was talking about. No, I didn't. Okay, so that's who really is confused.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Have you noticed a change at all over the years? And I don't know how long you've been trans, but have you noticed a change in the attitude or the atmosphere at all?
Well, there's definitely more people in mainstream media who have been coming out recently. So I think it's changed people's perception of who transgender people are. A lot of, I guess, cultural icons that are trans tend to be somewhat removed from the struggles of everyday trans people. So the representation can be a lot better, and there's still a lot of education that needs to happen. But generally, I think we're moving forward.
Okay. All right. Everybody's nodding their head. Do you agree? What do you think?
So it's become, like, un-PC to, like, make fun of trans people, right? So we all know that you're not supposed to be doing that anymore. But in the same way that it's not PC to, like, say racist epithets, doesn't mean people aren't racist.
Okay, yeah.
So people are, like, transphobic all the time. They're just not as outwardly or explicitly transphobic as originally.
Do you all feel comfortable to move and go wherever you may go?
No.
No?
For me to answer that. Elaborate.
I don't know. I guess as far as, like, recently, I am, you know, getting, not that I haven't felt this way in my life, mm-hmm. but as far as externally putting it out there to the world is much more different than internally housing this feeling mm-hmm. of being transgender and wanting to change outwardly. But things with the bathrooms, I don't feel safe. Like, it's not something that, even if you convince yourself about it, there's going to be an occasion where somebody may look at you while you're going into the bathroom. And, mm-hmm. you know, as, like, you know, sexual assault is real. And these are the things that we have to think about when we go into those bathrooms. And in the scenario that we're putting, in the scenario that this bathroom is this bathroom in a club? Is this bathroom in a public place? Am I with my friend? Should I do this alone? Kind of
okay.
thing.
All right. I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So trans people are one of the populations has the highest amount of being victims of harassment, assault, sexual assault, abuse, and even murder. Trans people are constantly bullied and harassed, and which is why over 50% of trans people have committed attempted suicide mm-hmm. at some point in their life. So I myself have been a victim of street harassment, catcalling. I've had people I've constantly received weird looks. So sometimes it's uncomfortable to be in society, especially considering all the ignorance that people still have.
Yeah, there's plenty of that. You mentioned, Catherine, a couple of things that I wanted to get back to. And one was, you talked about coming out. Now, is coming, for me, okay, it seems like coming out for trans would be different than coming out for gay. I mean, am I, and you all, you know, I just don't know. But, I mean, just, it seemed like the whole process would be different. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so
Am I right or am I wrong?
You're totally right.
You're totally right.
Oh, okay. So you're going to let me know. Okay.
Very different.
Okay, okay.
Right. I came out gay first as a gay male and then as a trans woman. So I had to go through in high school coming out as a gay guy, which was its own bag of tricks, which kind of sucked. But the response I got from my mom was... One, it was like, I told you not to do that. And then two, like you're going to catch AIDS and die. And when I came out as trans, my mom was more like, that's just not right. Like, it's just wrong. I mean, those are responses you can get for coming out as gay. But the response was much more extreme. I had all my clothes burned at one point. Actually, a couple points. they would raid my closet and burn my clothes.
They who?
Oh, my parents.
Oh, your parents. Oh, okay.
Would raid my closet and burn my clothes, which were like a gender affirming for me, or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it was a lot harder to stop me from presenting as a gay male because there's no way to do that really than to present as a trans woman. So it was a lot easier for them to just be like, yeah, you're just not going to be able to do that, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think other than just the responses of coming out as trans versus coming out as gay, just the two are very conceptually different.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you make a big Facebook post of, hey, everyone, I'm gay, most people are like, okay, great, I don't really care. Unless they're interested in dating me, there's no real reason for them to care other than, I don't know, making more LGBT friends. But when it comes to coming out as trans, you're telling everyone in your life, you need to stop referring to me as this name, these pronouns, and these female-gendered words, and you need to start calling me Jake, he, him pronouns, and sir, if you're going to do that. Just don't, first of all. And sir, and guy, rather than girl. And it's a lot more demanding.
Let me ask you to hold your thoughts. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and Jake, I had to interrupt you, so you want to continue with your comments that you were making.
Sure, yeah. I was saying how when you come out as trans, you're asking everyone in your life to change how they refer to you, rather than when you come out as gay, it's what your sexuality is, who you're interested in. It's not your entire identity, whereas being trans is a huge part of your identity, just as any cis person, as in a not trans person, they have a big sense of identity as either female or male. When you're trans, you have a strong feeling of what your gender is, whatever that may be, and you're asking everyone in your life to reaffirm that.
And respect it also.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, somebody's gender is a lot more tied to other people's perception of who you are in society than your sexuality. Mm-hmm. So coming out as trans basically reveals to the people in your life that you are, to them, a different person than they thought you were, considering how tied gender is to people's perception of who you are. So you're basically asking people to change their entire framework of how they think of you now because they've been wrong this entire time about what your gender actually is. So it's a lot more to take in, I guess.
And what kind of responses have you encountered? I mean, let's start. We're not on television. People can't see you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Some of you have touched on this already, but how did parents react? Let me just deal with first family and then friends. I mean, because I want to know and share as much as you just feel comfortable sharing. But how did they respond to this?
I guess, well, in my case, I ended up moving out of the house before I came out to my parents, considering I was afraid of their reaction. But if I'm not living with them, there's not much they could have done. They still don't really seem to understand. They still call me by the wrong names and pronouns a lot of the time. And they were very opposed to me transitioning. So,
okay.
Same situation as Kat. I moved out before I got into that. Just even as C situation, I came out gay first as a woman, lesbian. And that was even one thing to say to parents, you can't pull something out of somebody when they don't want to talk about it. Yeah. When people are ready, they're going to talk about it. It doesn't matter how many times you ask. It's not going to be said.
You're right.
I mean, so the reaction I had from my parents was strongly negative. But I would like to say, like, right now, at this point in my life, my parents are extremely supportive. They pay for they're paying for my doctor's appointments, and they will be paying for my hormones. So it's I hate to say these words, but it gets better. And it's basically like most trans people are going to have like the worst like time of their life when they come out. It's almost universally a terrible experience. It's almost universally kind of an awful couple months, maybe a year of your life, maybe 2-3 years. But life does get better. You'll eventually find a community that that actually like accepts you for who you are.
How did you all – just share with us. How did you know that you were whatever, gay, trans? Can you share – because people don't understand that. I mean, really, folks that are listening may have – no, I know some of you have told me. But, I mean, for the listening audience, how did you know? Because they don't understand that. Their attitude is, it's just the – I've heard people say it's just the end thing to do. And so that's why you're seeing this. I'm serious, you know?
Yeah, okay, I know people think so.
So that's like –
But let me just say this. I have one guy, and he's black, and he said, "Doc, I already got one strike against me. I'm black. Now, do you think I would choose to have something else that would even make it even worse?" And I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But just share with us.
So, okay, so a couple of things. One, the argument that we're doing it as a trend, that's like the trans-trender argument, is like extremely false because it's not very trendy at all. It's probably made me less cool as a person.
Also, not a choice.
Not a choice.
In the same way that your sexuality is not a choice, your gender is not a choice.
Yeah. But I guess it's like you kind of just grow up and you're always like weird. You're always like really feminine and nobody kind of gets it. And then eventually you're like, your body's going to start changing. And then you're like, wow, my body is not looking how I wanted it to look. Mm-hmm. It just isn't comfortable, really not enjoying it. I mean, as a kid, I never had a guy friend, never played sports, don't want to perpetuate stereotypes about, you know, but I just didn't fit in with the guys and, you know, I didn't fit. And so as I got older, you know, I kind of blended it more, but once I came out as trans, it's like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like it kind of puts your whole life back into perspective. Like, why did I want to do that? Well, it's because I was a girl. That's why I wanted to be in the girls section. That's what I wanted, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why I felt left that's out right. of all my yes. friends' stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it sort of goes into you hear a lot about socialization, you know, male and female socialization. So trans people are socialized as the gender that they actually are, right? Me, as a trans woman, I was socialized as a woman.
Okay.
Right? Which is why, in the same way that cis women have a tendency to be interested in certain things because society tells them this is what you need to be interested in.
Right.
In the same way I received that socialization growing up, even though my parents and friends and other people who are close to me might have denied that and tried to change that, mm-hmm. It didn't work. You know, mm-hmm. I ended up being a girl in the same way that any cis girl would have become.
Okay,
you know?
That's interesting. That's good to know. Yes.
Going off what Kat was saying, I think I kind of received a mix between male and female socialization because I responded to the male socialization of the other guys around me, and I found interests in sports and science, technology, Legos, mm-hmm. you know, building things that are typical guy sport things, right? But at the other end, my parents were very strongly forcing female socialization upon me. I would cry every time my mom would take me to the store to get new clothes, because she wanted me to wear girl clothes, and I did not want to. And she wanted me to wear makeup, and she wanted me to do dance class, and so on and so on. But to this day, I still struggle with appearing to be feminine in my voice inflections, and in the way I move my body, and the way I sit, or whatever. Because my mom was like, do not sit like that, that's what girls do. But that's what guys do, and you're a lady. And because she was so restrictive of how I have to appear to be a lady, I still kind of do some of those things just because I was trained to. So I kind of had that mix.
You've been conditioned to do it, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been in a mix of things, but now I'm here. but yeah, I mean, going off the binary, like, that's honestly such a thing in the trans community as far as, like, the gender binaries of being female and male. And many of the times people get, as the trans community, we get stressed out because of that. Because we're supposed to fit into this passing role of being into things. But there's, because of this system that's out there for what is a male and what is a female, it really bugs people out, including the cishet community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would like to say, like, on what Karina's saying is passing is the idea that this is like a really poisonous idea. It's the idea that you can go through your life and nobody knows you're trans. It's a very poisonous idea that is becoming extremely unpopular in the trans community. Basically, what it does is it says that it's been extremely poisonous in my life, one, because my body produces testosterone at an enormous rate. I got all the biological testosterone signifiers. You know, I got the facial hair, and I got leg hair, and I got hair everywhere, and I got, you know, muscles, and I got all that stuff. But the idea was that you could, if you eliminate all that stuff, you know, you shave your body every day and you go through all these things, you can look more feminine. But the idea of accepting either your body or, like, society should be able to accept me for who I am. Mm-hmm. I should not have to bend to society's will to fit in. I should not have to go through the pain of all these things. I was spending so much time of my life just, like, caring about how other people saw me instead of caring about my own personal journey as a person. And that's why the idea of, like, passing and the binary is extremely harmful to trans people, because there's no reason that I should have to be there's, like, pressure on trans women to be, like, the housewife from the 60s, to be the perfect pinnacle of femininity. Because if you're wearing pants, I've had this argument towards me. If I'm wearing pants, I'm not trans. People will stop thinking I'm trans if I wear pants, because pants are unfeminine and I'm not screaming out my gender at every second. So this idea is, like, if I don't shave my face every day,
then I'm not trans. If I don't wear a dress every day, I'm not trans. If I don't wear makeup every day, I'm not trans. And it's been extremely harmful to me, and I had to unlearn that. That society wants, if you're going to transition and people try to accept you, they'll try to make sure that you are the pinnacle of femininity. And that's just not who I am.
That's not where it's at.
Yeah, I'm not. It's never going to be where it's at.
It's not real either.
No, it's not. No one is the pinnacle.
Right.
Yeah, trans people are held to such a high standard compared to cis people. You know, I shouldn't have to spend an hour shaving my whole face, my arms, put on makeup and a dress or whatever just to not be harassed on the street, you know, every time I leave the house. This leads to so much stress and self-hatred for trans people that we need to get rid of this concept that you have to conform 100% to society's ideal of gender.
Yeah, because what's happening is people have what society has told them, has dictated the way females and males are supposed to look. I mean, honestly, if I were walking down the street and I saw you, I think you were a female. I mean, I don't understand where the harassment, you know?
The harassment
from somebody who's ignorant like me. Okay, I mean, I do understand it, you know, cognitively. Don't get me wrong. All right, but if you're just reacting to how the person looks or what they wear, that's where there's a disconnect to me.
The harassment always comes from a place beyond what we look like.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's a lot of the times when I am harassed on the side of a road, like I was last week, it's the idea that I'm – I think they feel threatened by my gender. I know a lot of women send a lot of trans women hate because they feel threatened that their boyfriends are going to leave. This is not even a joke. I'm not even joking with you. This is a famous – I'm not going to name drop. but there's a lot of trans women who are like, yeah, stop sending me hate mail. Yeah, your man left you for me. Or even like guys will be like, they don't want to be sexually attracted to trans women because it's for them humiliating to be sexually attracted to someone like me. So they get uncomfortable and then they lash out. Only recently has the trans panic defense been illegal. If you don't know what the trans panic defense is, that's people would kill a trans woman and then be like, I panicked because they were trans. And that was an excusable defense. That was in a defense that got people off and out of jail, murderers. You know, this is a thing that happened. And if you look at trans history, you know, Marsha P. Johnson is by far one of the most famous trans people to ever live. She started the Stonewall Riots with Sylvia Rivera. And she ended up face down in a river because no one is safe. Because she was doing sex work and someone killed her. And her, even though it was clear that it wasn't a suicide, that it was ruled a suicide, it wasn't investigated until I think 30 years after her death. So when even the most famous and important people in our community, when they're killed, not even they're investigated, you know, when people get away from killing them, like, there's no reason that people shouldn't think they can't get away with killing us. I mean, literally, like, there's Trans Day of Remembrance where we just go over all the people who have been killed. And there's jokes all the time on television about killing sex workers. And a lot of the times the sex workers are, like, trans people. And that's, like, a joke. Like, I killed a prostitute. Ha, ha, ha. How funny that I killed a living, breathing person who just happened to be in sex work.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Way back in 02, really, back in the 80s, I had a classmate who was hanging out and picked someone up and thought the person that they picked up was a female and
cis,
went home.
Cis woman?
Yeah, okay, yeah. And went home with the cis woman and found out that the cis woman had other anatomy.
Was trans.
Was okay, yeah. So you gotta teach me.
Yeah,
okay?
Was mm-hmm. trans.
Right. Okay. But this was in the '80s, okay?
Yeah.
And he beat her to a pulp, okay? She didn't die immediately. I mean, she may have died like a month later, and he wasn't charged, and that was in the '80s.
I mean,
that was just very, you know, and we couldn't understand that. I mean, I'm just, you know, kind of sharing. I just couldn't understand why. I mean, you kill somebody, I don't care what it is, okay? Whether it's a female, male, whatever, correct me if I'm not saying it right, but you know the point I'm trying to make. It doesn't make any difference if you take a human life. And that, yeah. That
for society, happened. It yeah. does make a difference.
A lot of the times, society doesn't see trans people as human. We are dehumanized by society, by the media, which is why a lot of trans people have to resort to things like sex work, which is why so many trans people are homeless, because we're kicked out of our houses when we come out. We are denied a place to live. We're denied jobs. We're denied an education just because we're trans, and it's because people often don't see us as human.
I'm trying to find a job this summer, and I don't know where I can apply where people aren't going to discriminate against me. Discrimination against trans people is completely legal in, I think, all 50 states.
Basic.
I got to ask you to hold your thoughts. We're going to take a break. You're tuned in to 411 Team.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I am talking with members of the transgender population. Let's talk about what kinds of things you would say to parents, okay, who have a gender nonconforming child and don't know what to do, okay? What kinds of things would you say? Because I think that would really help them and the child.
I would say accept the child for who they are, accept their gender, because a lot of parents try to change who we are. Mm-hmm. They try to say, you can't do this, you can't wear this, you can't look like this, you can't act like this, because that isn't part of your gender norm, and parents try to, in a way, repress your gender and turn you into somebody you're not. And you can't change somebody's gender by force. And parents are going to try, and it's intensely harmful. It ends up with self-hatred and trauma, and trans people are forced to hide who they are, and it leads to so much stress and hatred and agony, and which is why some trans people, which is why a lot of trans people end up attempting suicide. It's because they are ostracized from their parents and they can't be who they are around them because they're afraid and are unloved because their parents just don't accept them. And parents need to learn that your child is who they are and you can't change that and you have to accept it. And if you can't accept the potential of having a transgender child, don't have a child, because mm-hmm. they're okay. going to end up being miserable and potentially killing themselves. So
I think the issue of what parents should do if they have a trans child depends a lot on the child's age. If they are pre-pubescent, they should be accepting their child, of course, as they are, but know that their identity as trans might change. Maybe they'll be non-binary, as in not male or female, mm-hmm. or maybe just a feminine cis boy or a masculine cis woman if they're prepubescent, because they're just ingraining all these gender roles around them. Oh, I like sports, therefore I should be a boy. Oh, I like Barbie, therefore I should be a girl, because mm-hmm. they're young. I actually wrote a paper on this last year.
I guess the thing is, don't try to ingrain anything in your child. Your child will tell you who they are. What we're saying right now is, I think Jake is trying to say that when your child is a child, you know, things are going through their head, blah, blah, blah. But when they tell you they're trans, you should take that at face value. But remember, just as my gender has changed, other people's genders will change. Mm-hmm. You need to believe them and you need to embrace what they say. That's it.
Accept people for who they are.
I would start with not gendering your child at birth. That's like a very important one. Just like, hey, just wait until your child is like old enough to start, you know, gendering themselves to start gendering them.
Yeah, baby showers are a problem.
Oh my God, those gender reveals.
But Jesus. What about, you know, them sending you to therapy?
Well, I can talk about that personal experience. Okay. I wouldn't say this was conversion therapy by any means. There are tons of trans people where that actually happens to them, and fortunately that was not my case. Okay. I came out to my parents August 2016. We were coming back to FSU. They were dropping me off from South Florida like 2 days after I came out to them. Not really good timing on my part. I forgot why I did that. There was a reason. So they're taking me back to Tallahassee. They don't believe me. They don't think I'm trans. And they think that the counselor I've been seeing at FSU is enabling me in my transition. They actually stayed another day in Tallahassee in a hotel so that we could maybe get an appointment with her the next day. We were able to, and they didn't like her because she was young and enabling me because she believed me and was encouraging me to continue my transition. So they had me stop seeing her immediately and found a therapist in the area who specializes with trans people. So she could, I guess, evaluate whether I'm trans or not. I guess that's the idea there. Well, I'm still with her, and she hasn't made me any less trans. And now I'm out. I've been out completely for 4 months now, and it's not going anywhere. I'm still going to be a trans guy, even though I'm seeing a counselor. And if you're going to send your child to a counselor who's going to hurt them through some type of conversion therapy, that'll just leave them traumatized and still trans.
Well said. But that happens so much. You hear so much about that.
Yep.
It's becoming more illegal in states.
More illegal?
Yeah. They're definitely cracking down on
that. Yeah, people are realizing that it tends to lead to things like PTSD and depression and stuff if you try to repress a trans person's gender. In the same way that conversion therapy for gay people used to be a thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it was terrible. People ended up committing suicide, ended up with PTSD because it's literal abuse, you know? So,
how does religion...
Before I can finish, yes.
See, I'm sorry, I did raise my hand before.
No, it's okay. Dr. Hollyfield could. No, it's okay. That's all right.
So at this table, I am by far the person who loves God the most. No offense to anybody.
Excuse me. I'm up there. I'm next.
Jake would definitely be next. I go to church every Sunday. I really love God. I'm a Methodist. Okay. Which is, I think, surprising to a lot of people, which is kind of a sad thing. I found a lot of...
Why is this surprising?
Oh, it's surprising because I'm queer. And the minute you're a queer person, they're like, oh, you believe in God? What? And you're just there like, no, yeah. One of the most stabilizing things in my whole life has been my connection with God. I do believe... So there was this preacher. Kat knows the story. Karina was there.
I know the story.
You were there. Basically, preacher was at a trans rally that I was speaking at, and the preacher said that we should accept trans people because God makes mistakes, and that just because they put you in quote unquote the wrong body doesn't mean that you should be bad towards trans people. And when I got up there, I said, first and foremost, I am not a mistake. God chose me to be trans because he loves me more than you. but it's basically like God has chosen this path for me I was chosen to be trans, and that's it. Like, there's no other question. God has been a very stabilizing force for me. I understand a lot of people, it has not been a stabilizing force, and that's really depressing for me because it saved me from the brink many, many times. So the fact that there are so many trans people out there who feel like God has forsaken them or that religion is just not for them makes me sad sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's unfortunately a lot of intolerance towards trans people in religious communities. I mean, personally, I'm not religious, so I can't say why, but those just tend to be the experiences of a lot of people. It's homophobia and transphobia in a lot of religious communities. And it alienates a lot of gay and trans people.
I had to search long and hard to find a good church. Very long, very hard.
Okay.
When my friend tries to take me to church sometimes, like on the weekend, and she says, oh, let's check out this church. We like mm-hmm. to check out different churches around campus. I'm always afraid that this church is going to be the wrong one. This one is not going to accept me for who I am. They're going to see me, and they're going to see a lesbian rather than a trans guy. If I say I'm a trans guy, that just makes it worse, for a lot of people at least. And I don't know why it is, but religion, a lot of times they just hate trans people and gay people. And fortunately, my mom's not religious. My dad is, but somehow he's the more tolerant one.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not that there's no room in religion for trans people, even from a cisgender heterosexual perspective. There are more moderate religious people who will tolerate LGBT individuals.
I think Christianity, because when we say religion, most of the people at this table are talking about Christianity.
Yes. Yeah.
Is about love and tolerance. And if you can't love and be tolerant, you need to find a new religion because you're kind of failing at this one. So that's all I can say to that. It's a lot of struggle, like to find a good church, to find people that will connect with you. You know, there's a couple denominations. United Methodist is really good. Mm-hmm. Universalists are great.
Episcopalians,
they're pretty good.
Yeah.
So like, there are a couple denominations. Not going to shout anybody out. That have a history of kind of the worst transphobia.
Oh, so, I can imagine.
Yeah, we could shout them out, but we're not going to do that.
Okay.
I'm not even sure if there's anything inherently transphobic about any religion. I mean, I'm not super educated about religion. But the thing is, I notice a lot of people tend to use religion as an excuse mm-hmm. that even though their whatever holy book their religion uses doesn't say anything about trans people, they're just going to claim that somewhere in their religious doctrine it says to hate trans people. I'm sure everybody remembers all the counter arguments for gay marriage or same-sex marriage. A lot of them were religious. It destroys the sanctity of marriage. God believes that marriage is between a man and a woman, and it's like, does it say that in the Bible? Does it say anywhere mm-hmm. that marriage is only between a man and a woman? No, it's just you're using religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're using your religion as an excuse to be transphobic. It has nothing to do with your religion. You're just transphobic.
Now, Karina, how do you and religion connect, or do you connect at all?
Called out.
Yeah, I'm not really religious.
Okay.
I mean, I grew up as Episcopalian, but kind of just not there anymore. But yeah, they all said it.
All right. Want to get back to, because we didn't, you shared a little bit about the bathroom, but I want to talk about the bathroom issues overall and how you addressed that and what you thought of the whole bath. I thought it was ridiculous in North Carolina. I mean, I didn't understand that because it didn't matter
whatever your gender is.
Yeah. Okay. Then whatever your what were they going to do? Stand there and watch you as you use the bathroom? I mean, how would they go?
That's the real thing that happens.
Oh, really?
Huh?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there
you
are.
You mean
cases
that people say that?
I mean, like there's sometimes if the like a man has his wife in the bathroom. You know, what? He's going to stand outside the bathroom.
There's actually reported cases where security guards have gone into bathrooms to take out people they feel don't belong there.
I've been forcibly removed from women's bathrooms before when I wasn't quite comfortable using the men's yet.
Really?
Because I guess I pass using that P word again because I pass so well as male despite being pre-hormones and pre-top surgery and whatever that I pass so well that they forcibly remove me from the bathroom because I think I'm some type of male predator for going into the women's bathroom. Like I don't understand what
where
they
was
think.
This I mean
I just various clubs around Tallahassee.
So this is like
so this has happened multiple times.
So like I guess first and foremost just like Laverne Cox has said in that really famous thing speech, she said not allowing people to go to the bathroom is not about bathrooms. It's about not allowing you to exist in space. So, like, if I'm not allowing you to use the correct bathroom in, for example, in a club, I'm saying I don't want you in my club. Because if you're in a club, you need to use the restroom. You're not allowed to go. I am much more safe in the women's restroom than I am in the men's restroom. There's a much more chance that a guy is going to beat the crap out of me in the men's restroom.
Trans women get assaulted and sexually harassed all the time in men's rooms. So
yeah, I can see that.
Then, so they're not allowing you to exist in the space. And also it dehumanizes people because by just lowering our status from thinking humans who have dreams and aspirations to the question of whether or not I can use the restroom, it dehumanizes me to the point where I am only a bodily function. It dehumanizes me from the point where I'm a person seeking a degree with, you know, a great history of activism to a person – pat myself on the back there – to a person who merely just needs to use the restroom. And that's the farthest extent of my knowledge. It's the rules are not for me to succeed in this world. They're severely stacked against us.
Yeah, and this doesn't even only affect trans people. Like Jake said, cis men, for example, a lot of men's bathrooms don't have a baby changing station, for example. And so sometimes men have to go into the women's room to take care of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can be kicked out by the police or something. Also, gender nonconforming people. Even if you're not trans, if you don't look like the gender that conforms with the bathroom you're using, then suddenly you're not allowed there anymore. And it's this entire thing where we only divide people into two genders is sort of inherently in the first place. Yeah, sorry. It's
every time, Kat.
It's scientifically inaccurate, to use a better word.
Mm-hmm.
Because sex and gender, they're spectrums, right? Nobody has 100% of the traits associated with whatever sex or gender they may be. There's plenty of people who are cis who have different hormone levels. They have different chromosomes aside from XX or XY. Sometimes people who outwardly appear as a cis woman have XY, or some people who appear outwardly as a cis man have XX chromosomes. Mm-hmm.
And these are not just trans people.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Gender is based on six different traits, all of which come in varying levels and variations. So honestly, I think all bathrooms should be unisex at this point.
Well, you know, they're like that in other countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, it's here.
Yeah, America's really the place that.
I mean,
and if we refuse to change our current bathrooms to unisex and we still have our male and our female bathrooms, just let people use the bathroom they're using. If someone's acting suspicious, report them for being suspicious, not for wearing the wrong clothes or having the wrong body parts.
Right, right. And like I told you before, we're out of time. So you have to come back. And I mean, I appreciate, yes. I just want to say I appreciate you coming and I appreciate you tolerating my ignorance.
We appreciate you having us here and we'll definitely come back again to talk.
Thank you.
To my listening audience, I just want to say thank you for the privilege of your ear and your time. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.